Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this episode, we look at the pulp crime writer Jim Thompson, brought to the screen with varying degrees of success. I hope you enjoy the show. Jim Thompson was a pulp crime writer par excellence. Some critics place his work in higher esteem than Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler. The writer Stephen King said of him, "Big Jim didn't know the meaning of the word stop." There are three brave lets inherent in the foregoing. He let himself see everything, he let himself write it down, then he let himself publish it. Although he's been called the dime store Dostoevsky, he received little recognition in his lifetime, but many of his novels have been adapted into popular films. He was born in Anadarko, Oklahoma in 1906. His father was a sheriff who ran for higher state office but wasn't successful, and then left the sheriff's office under a cloud of suspicion of embezzlement. The family moved to Fort Worth, Texas, and Jim began writing and publishing short stories in his teens. He worked nights as a bellboy at a hotel, often procuring alternative entertainments for the guests, for which he sometimes made $300 a week to supplement his $15 a week salary. This was in the 1920s, the days of Prohibition. He smoked and drank heavily while he was still a teenager and had a nervous breakdown at the age of 19. He got work as an oil field labourer and wrote an autobiography aged 23, then enrolled in the University of Nebraska but dropped out in 1931. He wrote short stories for various crime magazines and newspapers based on true stories of murders he'd read about. He joined the Communist Party in 1935, but left it before the Second World War began. He worked in an aircraft factory for a while during the war and published two more autobiographical novels before joining the Lions Press, where most of his well-known work was published. He was married by now and got a job on the LA Mirror as a reporter. His first foray into screenwriting happened in 1956. Stanley Kubrick was a young director at the time and was a fan of Thompson's work, saying that The Killer Inside Me was the most chilling and unbelievable first-person account of a criminally warped mind that I have encountered. In the space of 2 years, Thompson had written and published The Killer Inside Me, as well as no less than 11 other crime novels. He was a family man with three kids by now, living in a house in the suburbs of New York, and was more than interested when Kubrick suggested he get involved in adapting a novel Kubrick had found. They worked together in an office on West 57th Street, and Kubrick visited Thompson's family in Queens regularly. We'll be right back. What emerged was the script for The Killing, Kubrick's first full-length movie, starring Sterling Hayden and Vince Edwards. Unfortunately for Thompson, Kubrick had downgraded his contribution in the credits to additional dialogue, but it didn't stop him accepting another job offer from Kubrick, to work on the script for the film Paths of Glory, which starred and was being produced by none other than Kirk Douglas. When Kirk Douglas read Thompson's draft, he threw it across the room, and the original screenplay was used instead, but with 7 scenes of Thompson's added. By now Kubrick had relocated to Los Angeles, and the Thompson family followed him, but Thompson's screenwriting career stalled again. He wrote a bit for TV, but his adaptation of his own novel, The Getaway, was turned down by the star Steve McQueen. Sam Fuller had earmarked The Getaway as a possible feature film, saying that the novel read like a shooting script. But eventually Sam Peckinpah directed, using Walter Hill's script, and the film was a big success. The Killer Inside Me was the next of his works to be adapted for the cinema. It starred Stacy Keach playing a homicidal schizophrenic deputy sheriff in Montana whom everybody loves and trusts. Keach does an excellent job as the sheriff, but the music lets the film down. Burt Kennedy, known for his westerns, directed. In 1979, Thompson's novel A Hell of a Woman was adapted for the screen as Série Noire by Alain Corneau, starring Patrick Dewaere, the magnetic French actor, as a travelling salesman in Paris, and Marie Trintignant as the teenager forced into prostitution by her aunt. This film is a tour de force and well worth watching. The location has been moved to take place in the bleak suburbs of Paris and works very well. Unlike Bertrand Tavernier's Coup de Torchon, adapted from Thompson's novel Pop 1280, which was moved to a French colony in equatorial Africa. Philippe Noiret plays the lazy local police inspector who manipulates everyone around him, including Stéphane Audran and Isabelle Huppert, but I found him unconvincing in the role. In 1989, Maggie Greenwald did an excellent job adapting The Kill-Off, with spot-on casting and script to match, as the inevitable small-town society bubbles up and consumes itself. It's worth remembering that from the late 50s onwards, the noir crime genre had begun decreasing in popularity, and Thompson's income continued to dwindle. He turned to writing tie-in novels from already produced TV shows, such as Ironside, and screenplay novelizations of The Undefeated and Nothing But the Man. In 1970, Robert Redford flew Thompson to his Utah estate and hired him to write a screenplay about a hobo during the Great Depression. He was paid $10,000, but the script was never produced. In the 70s, the French discovered Thompson's work, which led to Série Noire and Coup de Torchon being made. In 1990, James Foley directed After Dark, My Sweet, starring Jason Patrick as a retired boxer turned drifter, cajoled by Bruce Dern and Rachel Ward into a plot to kidnap a rich man's son. It's not totally convincing, and I suspect a desire to stick to the novel undermined the script. Jason Patrick's voiceover is spoken in the same scrambled voice he uses in the action, but surely what he thinks wouldn't be heard like that. The very same year, The Grifters was made by Stephen Frears, with much better results. Angelica Houston, John Cusack and Annette Bening give a great ensemble performance as a group of con artists who are unsure of who's conning who. It was nominated for 4 Oscars. Roger Donaldson took the brave step of remaking The Getaway in 1994 with Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger and Michael Madsen, but how could it do better than the original? Perhaps taking one of Thompson's other novels that haven't been adapted yet would have been a better move. In 1996, Steven Sheinberg adapted A Swell-Looking Babe to make Hit Me, starring Elias Koteas as Sonny, a bellhop in a hotel. He is very good and makes the most of the role, caring for his disabled elder brother and providing favours for the guests, and I'm sure Thompson drew on his own experience to write this. A mysterious beauty checks in and tries to commit suicide, but Sonny is there to prevent it. He gets involved in a planned heist of a poker game at the hotel, but nothing goes to plan. Philip Baker Hall is again excellent, and William H. Macy appears briefly as a cop. Overall, it's an ambitious film, but I feel relies too heavily on Sonny's voiceover.
Bye. to be a grey tower alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remains a drug that's the high and not the hill. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can't be seen? From a rose on the grave. Ooh, the more I get, I feel the stranger it feels, yeah. And now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the grave. A man can tell you so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain, baby. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a large and the light that you shine can't be seen? So much a man can tell me, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. To me, you're like a grown addiction that I can't deny. Now, won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become a large and the light that you shine can't be seen? The gloom on the grave.
Michael Oblowitz made This World, Then the Fireworks in 1997, starring Billy Zane and Gina Gershon as a depraved brother and sister in 1950s California looking for the big payoff. Unfortunately, their characters aren't drawn well enough to induce any sympathy, and again there is over-reliance on voiceover. It was Thompson's art to use a narrator in his novels, but does it necessarily mean it should be used in a film adaptation? Pete Rugolo wrote a great score at the age of 88, but Chet Baker shines on the end credits.
gone. The thrill is gone. I can see it in your eyes. I can hear feel your touch and realize the thrill is gone. The nights are cold, for love is old. Love was grand when love was new. Birds were singing, skies were blue. Now it don't appeal to you. The thrill is
The Killer Inside Me was remade in 2010, but didn't cause much of a splash, perhaps because it was a more faithful adaptation than the original. It's worth noting that the most successful Thompson adaptations, Peckinpah's The Getaway, The Kill-Off, Série Noire and The Grifters, didn't use any voiceovers at all. Instead, they made sure of great characterizations and great scripts. Future Thompson adapters, take note. Jim Thompson died in 1970 in Los Angeles after a series of strokes. At the time of his death, none of his work was in print in the United States.
Get a feeling that's so hard to bear. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Listen to me, baby, hear every word I say. No one can love you the way I do, 'cause they don't know how to love you my way. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning and fever all through the night. Bless my soul, I love you. Take this heart away, take these arms I'll never use, and just believe in what my lips have to say. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning and fever all through the night. gonna treat me right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold.